Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Larry Richard with our anchorman, Paul Rasmussen, and we are joined by retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst, a lot to discuss. Colonel, good morning.
Larry, good morning to you, sir.
As you are acutely aware, there are a number of issues when it comes to the military with the new, the new Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, and of course, Donald Trump in his second term. One of the things he talked about was the Iron Dome defense system that has worked well for Israel. He would like to see it deployed for us and our protection here in the United States. For those that don't know, please describe what the Iron Dome system is in Israel first.
Well, the Iron Dome system in Israel is an air defense system designed to intercept particularly missiles, rockets, cruise missiles that are launched against Israel. And that was very successful in the last little over a year that Israel was engaged in conflict with Hamas and also with Hezbollah in Lebanon, as well as with Iran on two different exchanges of ballistic missiles. And largely, those particular systems were defeated, though there was, in fact, some damage. But one has to think, of course, that the geographic problem, at least amongst others, is quite different between the United States and Israel. Israel is about the size of New Jersey, more or less, whereas you're now talking about the same sort of a defense system that would stretch across the entirety of the United States, to include Alaska, oh, by the way, and don't forget Hawaii and Guam and Puerto Rico and other places like that. So the scale of the problem is quite more, much more significant when you talk about it for the United States.
Colonel McCausland, what the executive order says from the White House on this topic, it says the U.S. will deploy and maintain a next-generation missile defense shield designed to protect the U.S. from all types of missile strikes. Is that possible? Do the experts think that doable?
Well, it might be technologically possible, because to understand the challenge, as most engineers describe this in the years I've been involved with this, because this also harkens back, oh, by the way, to Ronald Reagan in the 1980s and his proposal for a similar system that was dubbed Star Wars. But what you're trying to do is have a bullet hit a bullet. That's, in essence, what you're doing in terms of trying to defeat ballistic missiles that are launched against the United States. And we do have a minimum defense system right now, and that is about 44 interceptors that are spread between Vandenberg Air Force Base out in California and Alaska. The primary reason for these systems, most people believe, is to defend us against a rogue state that would launch a small attack. Think North Korea, think perhaps Iran in the future. But now when you scale that across the whole country, of course, it becomes a bigger problem. And our problem is much more severe than Israel's, not only in terms of the size of territory, but also the type of systems that we are going to have to defeat. Israel was trying to defeat Hezbollah and Iran's system. We're talking about much more sophisticated intercontinental ballistic missiles launched by the Russian Federation, by China, which has a growing set of systems, as well as smaller countries like Iran, perhaps, or North Korea. And other weapon systems as well. Think of cruise missiles or perhaps in future weapons launched from space. All this might very well be technologically feasible, but then the other thing you have to think about is cost. And right now, the Congress is wrestling with the FY25 defense budget, which was supposed to have been passed on 1 October, oh, by the way. But be that as it may, that budget will probably hit total national defense expenditures for the U.S. for FY25 of about $890 billion. Well, you can imagine a system like this for the whole country is going to add billions and billions of dollars to that total as we try to figure out how to balance budgets and pay for other things that the American people want.
We're with retired.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Army Colonel Jeff McCausland, and as you know, four executive orders were signed by President Trump on Monday directly affecting the military. What will be some of the fallout, in your opinion, as you work through each of the details of these orders?
Well, of course, you talked about Star Wars, or I should say Iron Dome, I'm sorry, and that'll be an analysis of cost and feasibility. Then, of course, there was the announcement about eliminating any kind of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, training, et cetera, throughout the U.S. military. Some believe, Mr. Trump's Secretary of Defense, Hegseth, certainly, that this will make the military much more focused on lethality. On the other side of that particular coin, there are many people who worry that this will discourage young women, frankly, people of color, from joining the military. We know the military has already got enough problems with recruiting as well. The second thing was directing the Pentagon to do a review of transgender people in the military to see if, in fact, they could perform their duties, be deployed consistent with the challenge they have if they're undergoing some kind of therapy or medication, or et cetera. And I think that's just a precursor, quite frankly, to Mr. Trump once again banning transgender people in the military, which he did during his first term. The question then will become, how do you manage those people who are already in the military in terms of honorable discharges? Do they get their pay, and perhaps some court cases that may generate? And then finally, the president directed that those who had left the military, about 18,000, who refused the COVID mandate, these were people in uniform, that they would be reinstated and receive their back pay. So far, that particular mandate was removed by President Biden. We've only seen about 100 or so people actually return to the military. So there's an open question, again, of how many of them will, in fact, return, number one. Number two, if they don't return, do they still receive their back pay? And number three, is this kind of a one-off decision for this particular once-in-a-century pandemic? Or are we saying every soldier, sailor, airman, Marine needs to decide which vaccinations he does or does not get? And that would be, I think, almost catastrophic in terms of readiness and deployment. I point out to people that George Washington forced the Continental Army to be vaccinated against smallpox because we had seen throughout history armies decimated by disease every bit as much as decimated by bullets.
A lot to sort through in the future. Thanks for putting some fine strokes on what this means. In the meantime, Colonel, thank you.
Take care, Larry.
All right, retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst.
Boy, he's sharp, isn't he? He really knows what he's talking about. Getting back to Secretary Hegseth and the role of women in combat, he wants that to stop. I'm curious to know how many women are in potential combat roles, particularly in the Navy and the Army.
Well, there have been women who have been in combat in Afghanistan, in Iraq, too.
You know, we've had pilots, I know.
one thing I'm curious, what is the percentage of transgender in the military? It's got to be pretty small.
A sliver, yeah.
Just a fine sliver. So the bigger question is really women in a combat
That's what
role.
I think. That's what I think. And I wonder, is the defense secretary, he says he doesn't support women being in combat, but is he going to be able to stop women from playing a role in combat? Don't know that.
No shortage of topics.
Right?
Yeah. So we'll keep you posted.
One flurry of big stories after another. I mean, the question I have to ask myself today, Larry, is what surprise are we going to get from Washington today?
And you have the new White House spokesperson, Caroline Leavitt. And I'm wondering if she's sitting there going, wow, there's no shortage of things to discuss. So we'll keep you posted here on the Big K Morning Show.